You ready?
This is the Mike Salk Show
on Seattle Sports Station.
Are you ready?
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Are you ready for a good game?
Oh, what a show it's going to be. Happy post-July 4th. Some call it July 5th. We call it post-fireworks. Thank goodness they're done. Mike Lefko, Ryan Roland-Smith along with you. Justin and Mora, like always. Guys, I'm excited. This is going to be a great show, a great lineup of guests. Ryan, how are you feeling on this bright and early 6 a.m.?
It's been a while since I've been up since. I think I was up at 4 a.m. getting ready, getting prepped for the show. I was in here. I was the first one in here, by the way.
At 4 a.m.?
At 4 a.m.
Yes.
4:10. Let's not lie. But no.
Whoa. Look,
no, I was banging
somehow,
on the door.
He somehow found a way to get in, even though he doesn't work here. First
oh,
one
no.
Here.
We let you come in too early. Sorry about that.
I know. No, it's,
you know he's lying, right? He was not the first one.
No, it's great. This is, by the way, I have hosted the morning show before, okay. I remember. And, yeah, it takes me just a couple minutes. But, yeah, the fireworks will get me all kept me awake last night for sure.
I want to get into that. I want to get into some 4th of July hate. But if you're listening right now, and hopefully you are, we have a fantastic lineup of guests. I mean, so many guests, I don't know if we're even going to be able to talk, because at 7:35, we have Allison Lucan, writes for the Kraken, works for Root Sports, your colleague.
Yep.
So we'll break down the upcoming NHL draft that begins on Thursday and Friday for the Kraken. Brock Heward, as always, at 7:45, Joe Fan at 8, and then you were just on a tear here, booking all these guests.
I was pumped up.
You were pumped up. That's
I was excited.
Great.
I was kind of using the old icebreaker. Hey, happy 4th. Hope you're doing well. Hey, by the way, what are you doing tomorrow? So one of them is on the East Coast, Jason Stark.
Okay.
I can't wait to talk to this guy, man.
Okay, so that won't be this early for him. Okay, that's
not that early. So he's on the East Coast. That's not too bad. And Pete Woodworth, look, they've got a day game. So he's up early. Pitching coach of the Seattle Mariners. Can't wait to talk about him. This starting rotation has been insanely good. So I want to dive into a few things and Robbie Ray's outfit yesterday. I need to ask Pete. All
first
about
question
that
to too. Him will be about that.
First question.
All right. So Pete Woodworth at 8:30.
We need Jason some answers Stark. On that.
Yeah, we definitely need some answers. And I can't believe, Justin, you pointed this out. Let me get through the guest lineup real quick. Pete Woodworth, 8:30. Jason Stark, 8:45. Chris Flexen at 9:45. All Mariners coming up leading into that 1-10 game against the Padres as they go for another series win this afternoon. Pregame coverage begins at noon. So we'll have Bump and Stacy 10 to noon, then Mariners pregame. So we got a full list. But Justin, you pointed this out, and I don't think we noticed this. Robbie Ray was standing there when all the players were lined up during the national anthem with that outfit.
Yeah, you see.
That's not street legal, I don't think.
Street legal.
Yeah, you see.
Certainly not uniform legal.
You see the clips, like, oh, yeah, you know, he's out there 4 hours before the game. And like you said, then Justin said, no, check this out. I'm like, hold on a minute. That's why straight away, the first thing I wrote down for Pete Woodworth, like, outfit, national anthem. Because, hey, look, back in the day, you couldn't do that. Apparently, look, they've gotten way lenient on the dress code now. You couldn't even wear different colored shoes back when I played. Now, I sound like I'm some dinosaur, right? It wasn't that long ago since I was playing. But you had to make sure you had a certain percentage of color on your shoes. Now, everyone's wearing, like, Oakland A's white spikes now. But then you see Robbie Ray during the anthem. He's got a cape on. If you haven't checked it out, I'm sure you can see it on social media.
He had a fanny pack.
He had the Stars and Stripes arm sleeves. Love it.
Yeah.
I think that's the caveat. If you're in Stars and Bars, I'll let you wear whatever you want.
Yeah. It's just like you obviously expect that when he was warming up. You know, day after a start, show, he's going to have fun. Everyone's joking around. Yeah, everyone's joking around as he walked off the field. Okay, cool. And then he's out there during the national anthem. Okay. Wow. All right, go for it.
You've got team-issued gear. Like, yeah, the pullover is acceptable. The guys are in jerseys, day game, whatever. And then you got this, the tank top. Well, I mean, yeah, insane. I was shocked to see that, and that kind of woke me up a little bit this morning, seeing that.
Yeah. Speaking of waking up, are you over the 4th of July? Because I started to realize, and it was kind of with growing dread that I found myself getting very fuddy-duddy old man-ish. When last night, as I knew these fireworks were about to start, started to grumble, why are we doing this? Just loud noises. We see fireworks all the time. What's so special about fireworks? Blah, blah, blah. And I knew full well how terribly stick in the mud I was being. But right. I think as I've gotten older, two things I've started to just irrationally hate that I loved as a kid. Snow and the 4th of July.
Well,
the fireworks part of the 4th of July. I love a lot about the 4th of July, but the fireworks, I'm over it.
Right. Well, I guess when you, you know, when you have to get up, you know, before the sun comes up to come, you know, host morning talk radio for sure, 100%. I'm not with you there, man. I was outside running around the backyard with my 3-year-old son with the sparklers all night until I had to clean it up and say, you know what, I need a few hours here. But I will say that I don't know how everyone else is. The dogs cop it the worst, as you know. I mean, they're, you know, the dogs absolutely cop it, as Maura mentioned this morning, too.
Everyone's always like, what are your 4th of July plans? I'm like, oh, try to comfort my dog as she has a panic attack. I can't go anywhere.
I've got a 9-year-old, my 9-year-old boxer, she's fine. She's totally fine. She's good.
Yeah, some dogs don't mind.
Very mellow.
It's bizarre, because I know every other dog I've been, like thunderstorms back in Australia when you get those big ones coming in, man, like my sister's dogs just freak out. But, no, look, 4th of July, look, and let's not forget, I'm Australian too.
Well, I was going to say, kind of, when did you fully get indoctrinated into what this all was?
When I was playing in the minor league somewhere and the entire crowd in the middle of nowhere was wearing Robbie Ray's outfit, basically I was like, man, this is a big deal. This is kind of a big deal.
What are they doing on this Wednesday? They're all dressed up.
Exactly. Yeah, and you know, they'd always go, you know, go hard on 4th of July, obviously, fireworks and everything else. But we have a similar day back in Australia. We have Australia Day. You know, everyone dresses up in the Aussie stuff. So it reminds me a lot of that. I had my parents in town from Australia, their first ever 4th of July, doing a parade down Edmonds. So that was an absolute blast. It was fun, man, I got to say.
That's awesome. That's very cool. All right. Well, okay. Maybe I'm the only one who was grumbly. I'm glad you had a good time. It is a fun holiday. And coming up in a little bit, we're going to talk about another reason that makes it so fun. But during that Mariners game yesterday, to really just put the cap on an incredible 4th of July, Julio Rodriguez.
Man.
The kid is incredible.
Yeah. And he's just, every single game, there's something to add on. Now, you go back and look. The thing is with the Seattle Mariners, as we all know, especially lately, it's all about getting excited for some of these young prospects, who's coming up, and Julio Rodriguez and Jared, all these guys that they could. But for Julio Rodriguez, he is just on another level, not just within the Seattle Mariners organization, nationwide. I mean, I've got people who are not even close to, you know, keeping up with what the Mariners are doing, bringing up Julio Rodriguez's name. You hear kids from Australia talking about Julio. He's just on a different level. And then all of a sudden you start seeing the comparisons to, of course, Ken Griffey Jr. You've got, okay, first 50 games, first 75 games, it continues on. And you can see there's quite the trend there in that first year of what he's doing. But yesterday, man, again, he's just on another level.
I was still excited from Sunday. The first pitch of the game, right, hit that home run, and then he did this yesterday.
The stretch and the pitch. Swing and a well-hit ball deep to left field, going to the Western Metal Supply Company. Goodbye, baseball, upper deck. The top terrace in left field down the line. Holy smokes, the kid did it again. Julio Rodriguez with his 15th home run of the season.
I know we've talked about this before, and a lot of people have, but there's just a different sound when he makes solid contact.
Yeah, and look, exit velocity is through the roof. We all know that. But he, throughout his career, even in the minor leagues, hit a lot of balls on the ground. And you talk to the Mariners front office, and they said, yeah, he hits the ball hard, but there's a lot of balls, you know, heading down to the dirt. And so a lot of these balls, it's different off his bat. You mentioned that. A lot of these balls that he hits on the ground can get through infielders, like he's playing on a little league field. But if you notice now, hitting the ball to left field in the air, something is a little bit different with his swing path, where he's catching that ball. You can get that launch going to right field, opposite field all day because it's deeper on your bat path. But now when that swing's staying, just he's staying through that ball just a little longer, getting underneath the ball, man, when he starts elevating that ball at 110 exit velo, you're just going to see those home run numbers mount, you know, season after season, man. It's impressive to see what he's done in this short run.
We're going to continue to dive into Julio coming up at 7 and then a little bit at 7:30, talk about his potential all-star candidacy, but we have a lot to get to. This is going to be a great show. Mike Lefko, Ryan Roland-Smith in with you. Coming up next, though, there was a monumental championship that was won yesterday. We have to break that down and much more. It's the Mike Salk Show. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and seattlesports.com.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Mike Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, Julio Rodriguez reaches 15 home runs and 20 stolen bases in fewer games than anyone ever in MLB history. After his 15th home run in the fourth inning yesterday, Julio hit that threshold in just 81 games, and that's a faster mark than Ellis Burke, who took 82, and Barry Bonds, 90 games. That stat found courtesy of the Mariners PR guru, Alex Mayer.
He's the man.
He is the man. He is the Julio of stat finding. And how about Chris Flexen? Also matches career high of 8 strikeouts, going 6 2/3 innings, a season after his career worst outing in that very ballpark. 10 hits and 8 runs allowed during that tough stretch last year in San Diego. So I know we have a lot to talk about with Julio in the offense, but don't want to discount what Chris Flexen did yesterday against a really good Padres offense.
Yeah, and when you say don't want to discount what he did, he a lot of times gets overlooked. He doesn't get the run support, so he's not in the W column. The team was losing a ton when he was pitching, but talk about his starting rotation. They're 8th best in ERA. Chris Flexen has been the most consistent. Obviously, everyone's talking about Robbie Ray, what he's doing right now, but go back throughout the season, what he has done, just consistently, quietly gotten into the 5th, 6th, and 7th inning. And yesterday was the thing I liked about yesterday, getting into the 7th inning. You mentioned the fact is going back to Petco Park where he struggled. But what he's doing second, third time to the lineup, that's always been a tough stretch for him, how he gets guys out multiple times. And yesterday, he just breezed right through that, getting deep into that game against a really, really a tough offense.
And a virtual shutout. It was not a shutout. It's an 8-2 win. But come on, when you take a shutout into the ninth inning and you give up a fluke home run, all right, that's a win. That's a virtual shutout.
When you're up by 8, 100%.
When you're up by 8, you're up by that many runs, all right, that's essentially a shutout win. So sure, an 8-2 win and an all-around good game for the Mariners.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Okay, so this is important. All-Star voting round 2 begins today. Actually, it begins in a couple hours. Begins at 9 a.m. to determine the starters in the All-Star game. And Ty France, he's in a big race. He's a finalist against Vlad Guerrero Jr. at first base. If you want to vote, MLB.com/all-star/ballot, because it's baseball, so they couldn't do it easy, right? They couldn't just do MLB/all-star ballot. No. They had to make it difficult. So MLB.com/all-star/ballot, or just Google the freaking thing. I mean, just Google MLB All-Star Ballot. But voting starts again at 9 a.m., runs until 11 a.m. on Friday, July 8th. You can vote once a day. This would be cool. I know it's pretty tough because Ty France is up against all of Canada, but he's certainly deserving of an All-Star spot.
And, you know, not only that, he's got some young... You talk about Julio Rodriguez. Vlad Guerrero still holds that young talent, face of MLB. He's in that category. It's going to be tough for Ty France. Plus, he's on the IL, too, up against Vlad. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's going to be tough. But, again, get out there. You mentioned... by the way, you mentioned the trickiness about phase one of voting, phase two... I'm going to admit, I was early, but I had to ask you.
Well, I had to, I had to really analyze, I was reading a text for a school project and parse through it all.
Yeah, it is very, it's excruciating trying to figure it out. I'm like, when did the players step in here? But yeah, again, it's going to be a tough task, that's for sure, but get out and vote for Ty France. Just give him a little extra.
Yeah, what is good is that Vlad Guerrero had a massive lead in phase one, so you narrow it down to 2 finalists, and then the votes reset. So if you vote, you mobilize. It is the power of the people here.
Yeah.
The fans truly select the All-Star starter. So you could vote Ty France to be the All-Star starter. He starts at 0 against Vlad Guerrero Jr., so it's all even right now.
Well, maybe the computers might freeze up in Canada or something. Who knows?
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Well, the big news from yesterday, the great American eating machine, Joey Chestnut, wins his 15th mustard belt by downing 63 hot dogs and buns to win the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest. He also put a protester who ran onto the stage during the middle of this in a chokehold, threw him down, and continued eating. Ryan, can you tell I like this event?
You do like this event. And hey, mind you, I rivaled him yesterday with crushing a few hot dogs in the back. Yeah, I'm not going to lie.
How many did you take down?
I'm not going to admit that on air, okay? That's private information for the Roland Smith family only. No, but no, hey, the
7? 7? No,
Let's go a little higher than that. Yeah, over. We'll keep the over under at 7. Okay. How about that? But no, hey, look. The if you get a chance to watch it now, what I always think of this: what would you do? Like, if anyone's going to criticize, oh, you know, it was too much, or he tried to. No. When you're in there, when you're in the zone, crushing dogs, right, doing your thing. He's been training for this event. obviously takes it extremely seriously. He's there on that stage year after year. And then you got old mate standing next year. I didn't even know what he was protesting. Some Star Wars thing. Or
there were two protesters. Yeah, so I don't really know. Yeah,
I'm sorry, man. When you were in the moment, don't mess with Joey Chestnut in that situation. That headlock was for real.
That was impressive.
He got the hand behind Bob Stelton would be impressed. A little bit of a jiu-jitsu style, you know, move, I think. I don't know what you call that. The Kimura or something.
When Bob wakes up in 7 hours and listens to this, he will be impressed. But I have to imagine when you're in the zone like that, if you're pitching or if you're out eating, doing your thing like Joey Chestnut, probably hard to break rhythm, then go back into it.
I do have to say this. T-Mobile Park, there was someone who ran on the field.
On Sunday.
Yeah. That's right. And it was funny. Julio Rodriguez, we all love him. He was kind of waving at the guy. He kind of gave him the thumbs up. Then he caught himself. I was watching this. And then he waved him off. It was kind of awkward. And then he waved, and then sure enough, the guy got tackled. But he wasn't dialed in as Joey Chestnut, obviously.
Well, Julio just loves the fans. I mean, we've seen his exuberance to waving to the fans. He was pointing at them after the home run yesterday.
I have seen Raul Ibanez give a guy a hug.
Oh, a guy on the field.
Yeah, run on the field, and the guy stood there, and Julio, and this is in a pitching change. Mm. Raul just looked at him, put his hands up, gave him a hug. Oh, man, what is he doing? Oh, freaking out. Cop just tackles him right after that. It was pretty solid.
Yeah, so that happened Sunday, and we were there at the game. Didn't make the broadcast because it was during a pitching change, but you need a term because this guy was not a streaker. He had the shirt off but jeans on, thankfully.
Yeah.
But I don't understand the motivation of fans that do that. And in the middle of a key situation, too, because the Mariners had just lifted Robbie Ray. You're trying to get out of a jam, protecting a lead, and this guy runs onto the field.
The other thing is, too, and I remember being up in the bullpen talking to some of the bullpen cops about this. You don't do it on a Friday because you got to wait till Monday.
Oh,
they
interesting.
They lock you up, yeah.
So Sunday, he planned it well.
Because he got the public holiday yesterday. Yeah. What's he thinking?
Uh-oh.
So he spent 4th of July locked up.
Wow, okay,
no
good point.
That, yeah.
Word of advice to potential would-be runners onto the field. Well, that's everything you need to know. So you never know how that segment's going to go. You guys learned something today. Don't run into the field unless it's a weekday and not on a Friday.
Slow Tuesday.
Slow Tuesday.
Did you guys see the Portland Pickles streaker that they had this weekend?
Yeah, I kind of think that was staged.
Yeah, I think it was too.
Yeah, because it's minor league baseball and the mascot took him out. We'll show you during the break.
I've seen it.
Oh, you saw it? Of course.
No one does it better. That was staged for sure.
That was staged.
No, they're guilty of it, but they do a great job with it, with the promoting, whatever they're promoting.
Happen to have a drone up in the air.
Oh, yeah. It's all in good fun. Oh, coming up, we need to hand out some grades. We just hit the midway part of the season. On Sunday, in fact, was the midway part of the season. So we're going to give some evaluations and grade the Mariners' first half as we start to work our way through the second half of the season and into the All-Star break. Mike Lefko, Ryan Roland-Smith in for Mike Salk. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Oh, yeah. Some nice patriotic music. I think of Wet Hot American Summer when this plays. That movie? You guys seen that one? Justin,
haven't.
You've seen it, right?
It's been a long time, I guess.
You get a lot of head shakes going on with that.
Not a lot of head shakes?
Sorry.
Come on, aren't you guys used to Salk throwing out obscure references and being ready for it?
I thought we were going to be able to avoid it for a day.
Yeah,
sounds like
true. No, this gets you in that. Jogs your memory back down. Have you seen that movie?
Well, that movie just came out in theaters in Australia, so I'm not sure.
21 years late.
So the original Top Gun.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of 4th of July,
Top Gun just came out. The original just came out in Australia. You're like, what's this Top Gun 2?
We're a little slow about him, yeah.
Wait, you're saying speaking of Top Gun?
Oh, no.
When you got a match. You can talk about that with Brock, by the way, coming up at 7:45.
Oh,
he loves Top Gun.
Top Gun Maverick. Greatest movie of all time.
That's what everyone says.
I'm joking. Jeez. It was. Have you guys seen it?
Yeah, I was really good.
I finally went this weekend.
I am not.
Good for you.
Okay, I got to go get on this.
Okay. Yeah. As soon as we're done here, off you go.
All right.
Matinee.
Right.
Yep. Let's go.
Yeah,
come
it is
on,
a Tuesday.
Left,
yeah, Tuesday matinee. Good. Okay, I will do that. We'll talk about Top Gun with Brock, I guess, and you're a big fan of that. But I got distracted by that song. We're going to kind of evaluate the Mariners because it's the midseason. They just hit their 82nd game of the year. The halfway mark was on Sunday, game 81, when they won 2-1 against the A's. Since you're in, and Ryan has a good insight on basically what you've heard, what you were told at the start of the year compared to what you've seen now, figured we'd go kind of position group by position group and rate and evaluate the Mariners. Because what better than to sit here and hand out judgment?
Right.
You know, that's what
Absolutely.
We do on the radio. No, it's looking a lot better than it would have maybe even midway through the first half of the season, about 40 games ago. So you're a pitcher. Figure, hey, why don't we start with the pitching and take a look at the starting rotation that primarily has been Robbie Ray, Logan Gilbert, Marco Gonzalez, Chris Flexen, and George Kirby.
Right.
Now, the big thing I take away here as we get into this, Ryan, is the health. This team, knock on wood, has been so healthy this year, the starting rotation. Last year, they dealt with so much attrition. They had to bring guys up. They had to make bullpen starts. Really, spot starts for a lot of guys. So if I'm going to give my evaluation after you weigh in, that's a big plus in my book that they have made 76 of 82 possible starts. And the only ones they didn't out of that core, well, because Matt Brash was up. He made 5 to start the year. And then Penn Murphy, the spot start in the doubleheader against the Angels. So the health has been fantastic for the rotation so far this year. But as you dig in here, what has been your takeaway from these guys compared to maybe what you heard or what you were thinking going into the year?
Yeah, it's interesting because right now they are on an absolute tear and they've rounded out. Like you said, you made a great point, something about the health. To have 5 guys now, and they haven't been there from the beginning of the year. George Kirby was subbed in there for Matt Brash. But to have that consistency where they're making starts every 5 days is very rare. We saw last year too, 2021. It is so hard not to compare to 2021 because that was kind of that year, that last year, the rebuild, and then we're going to add on and make these moves, everything else. But going back to spring training, and I always go back to the hype and expectations. Couple things. Now, if you want to do a letter grade system, now,
that's what we do here in America.
Yeah, you do. We don't do that in Australia, by the way. But I'm going to go A-. Now, the reason I'm not, because when you look at it, they're top, when we're talking starting rotation, they're at the top of a lot of categories through Major League Baseball. A couple reasons. First of all, I'll get to some. Matt Brash, at the beginning of the year, and going into even his first start, it was, this guy's stuff-wise is off the charts and everything else. He struggled. He really did. For a good rock-solid month there, he really struggled. And then what they did, messed with that bullpen a little bit and put him in a tough spot to start the year. In April, for a team like the Seattle Mariners, they are below 500 right now. They're games away from getting to 500. That month of April, heading into May, right, when you're a team like this where you do lack a bit of depth, you cannot put you in a situation where all of a sudden you have a young pitcher with zero experience putting you in a tight spot like that. So that's why I don't give him the glowing review. The other one is Robbie Ray too. Look, he is dealing right now, absolutely dealing. He is in fuego. But he was scuffling at the beginning of the year. You talk like, you look at some of these main, first of all, he had a 4 in April. Okay, now remember, he won a Cy Young last year, big expectations.
Yeah.
And I'm talking to this guy on Friday. I'm sitting down with him, so I don't want to blow him up. Now, he's in San Diego right now. But I will say,
they might be listening. I mean, Pete Woodruff's coming on soon.
Yeah, he is.
So they're probably listening.
But you look at the first big chunk of this first half for him, a 5 in May, lackluster in April. He took a long time to get going. Now he's absolutely dealing. But let's talk about some of the good stuff. Marco Gonzalez and Chris Flexen, I put them in the same category of just straight consistency. You talk about some of the things, staying healthy, but when you have guys that continue just start after start, get you in the 6th and 7th inning, it is not easy to do with no hiccups whatsoever. It just kind of anchors that rotation, massive. And then the two guys you should get so excited about, whether it's for this year, next year, Logan Gilbert and George Kirby. Now, I watched George Kirby pitch against the Orioles, and he scuffled. And I said, matter of fact, I spoke to you guys in the afternoon about this with Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton. I said, okay, watch how he responds. How does he respond to that? And he responded like he'd been pitching for a long time, like it was nothing. Water off a duck's back. When you see that, that is exciting, man.
Yeah, that was, Saturday against the A's. It was his best start of the season, I would say, right? 13 in a row retired at one point, career high in strikeouts and innings pitched, mm-hmm. in pitches as well. So I think to see that going forward, the recency bias for the rotation, you'd say, A+.
Yeah.
But you're right. You summed up the whole picture of the season to this point. Mm-hmm. It's fair there, A-. So,
and stuff, I don't want to be so critical because...
No, A- is not critical.
No, it's not. but I feel like I am because they are on such a good stretch. Yeah. Robbie Ray is killing right now. You look at the stretch, the last 5 starts, insane. Best pitcher in baseball. Matt Brash, obviously, the silver lining was George Kirby coming out of that. But when you're talking about the whole picture, where they are right now, sub 500 team, where you wanted them to be hunting down the Houston Astros. The starting rotation, could you imagine if this rotation wasn't as rock solid, where that would be? It's pretty crazy to think about. So, again, you just have to go back to April and May as far as the rotation, where they sit.
Yeah, I'm curious to get into this a little bit more with Pete Woodworth, Mariners pitching coach, who will join us at 8:30, because it seems like it was instantaneous. The second Robbie Ray utilized that two-seamer. When he developed that, it's been every start since then unhittable.
Which is, I'll be honest with you, when he said, oh, I'm starting to throw this two-seamer, I put that in the same conversation as when Yusei Kikuchi, who, by the way, I'd pull my hair out watching him pitch sometimes because he's around 95, 96. It's like, dude, why are we going about these hitters in this kind of pitch away from contact mode? He started throwing this change-up all of a sudden. Because it was going, and it was one of these things that when you, as a starting pitcher, when you have really good stuff, right, and you say Kikuchi does, when you start getting into this mode where I want to pitch away from contact, away from attack mode, good things are not going to happen. When he talked about throwing this two-seamer, I'm like, here we go, some gimmicky thing, getting away from his strengths, and now he's just going to, there's going to be that kind of that mediocrity a little bit. But I was dead wrong with that. What it did, insane. Strikeout numbers went through the roof. His four-seam got better. His slider got better. Gave hitters something else to think about. All these other little things. And it's not like it's some massive pitch where the thing's just like falling off the table or running out of the strike zone and ending up on pitch ninja every 2 seconds. But it just gives him a little bit of breathing room to pitch on arm side away from righties, which is massive for him.
Yeah. So A- for the starting rotation, right? That's solid. With room to improve, they're certainly getting better over the last few starts. Over the last month, really, probably 30-plus starts. I think a lot of stats how good they've been over the last nearly 40 games for the starting rotation.
Yeah.
Want to get to the bullpen now. And I think this might be an interesting one because, again, like the rotation, they've been very solid recently. But that was a shaky start to the season. And they went through a revolving door of relievers. So I'm curious to know how you kind of sum up how the bullpen's been so far.
Yeah, and it's interesting too. When you have a bullpen where you don't have – the way Scott Service runs this, he doesn't have Paul Sewald in the ninth inning. So he doesn't have the guy in the eighth inning, so to speak. But you mentioned – now I'm going to give them a B, okay? Now, the reason I do that is because Penn Murphy saved them in those middle innings. I've got to say, man. Yeah. He is the 2021 version of Paul Sewald, I think, where he comes in, so many sliders. I'm not talking about because the way the ball behavior, the way the ball acts or anything like that. There is some similarities there. But I think he's one of these guys, and we haven't really heard too much about it just yet, just like kind of Paul Sewald was under the radar. How he came in to the Seattle with the Mariners, got around certain guys and said, okay, this pitch, this location, stay with that, nothing else, and you're good to go. Boom. Like, stamp it, off he goes. And he just has his confidence, like, all right, I'll throw this slider, whatever, 50, 60% of the time, and I'll throw this pitch, and all of a sudden, now I can pitch in the big leagues. So I think he really said that Drew Steckenrider was disappointing. It was going to be tough for him to maintain what he did last year. That kind of dragged it down because he was a guy every single – we go back to – again, you've got to go back to April and May. You do. Because where's the team right now? They're in a situation where they're below 500. So you always have to go back to April and May. They're doing much better, obviously, the big month of June for a lot of guys, and they're doing way better to crawl back up close to 500. But again, you go back to some of these. Drew Steckenrider, man, struggle. You hate to see it. DFA'd, especially after last year. Diego Castillo. Now, again, same kind of conversation with Robbie Ray. He's been much better of late, right, and he's shown a little bit more consistency. But were we going to see that, what we saw early on, was that going to be a trend? And he turned it around. So there was some big-time hiccups in April and May, which kind of drag it down to get them. If you're going to be below 500, then it's going to be tough to give these guys glowing reviews.
Now, is there anyone in particular who kind of jumps out? I know you mentioned Penn Murphy, but outside of that, we hadn't seen Andres Munoz until this season. We saw maybe just a brief hint of what he could be last year, but that wasn't enough to get a sample size. Then he comes in and, flamethrower right away.
Yeah.
Obviously, the velocity jumps out at you. That started to get hit a little bit as batters tried to time him up. So with the adjustments he's made and with using that slider to kind of offset just the pure speed, How has he evolved, and do you think he can be a guy that maybe if we're going end-of-the-year grades for this bullpen after the whole course of the season, does it bump up to an A because Andrés Muñoz has become more consistent?
Yeah, I think so. He's a big part of this, and this is someone who again, going back to the body of work we've seen the first half of the year and always going back to how they're in the situation. Now, I can't be too critical on this guy because we act like this guy's got a good, you know, 2, 3, 4 years in the big leagues, and he really doesn't. You got to remember that. I mean, he's barely gone over 50 innings, which is insane in his career. So with all that being said, Andrés Muñoz got hit with that, oh, this is the big leagues. This is not double A. And what I mean by that is when you're in A ball double A, you can throw 100 right by anyone, right? No offense to those guys, right? Professional baseball, I get it. It's tough. But I'm telling you, it's different to the big leagues. All of a sudden, he gets here. I'm just going to pump 100. See, I'm going to kind of mix in this okay slider. And he got crushed. Now, I'm giving him a lot of props here because he went to the slider a ton because his fastball was basically just not happening. He didn't have the feel for it. And all of a sudden, that was the silver lining. He developed that slider. Now that fastball's out of the strike zone. If he can maintain this kind of attack mode, the way he's doing it, pitching backwards a little bit, getting that fastball above the strike zone a little bit, man, he's going to be fun to watch.
Now, I know bullpens are notoriously fickle from year to year.
Oh, yeah.
And it didn't help that the Mariners bullpen lost Casey Sadler. Mm-hmm. And it's not to say Casey Sadler would have been as lights out and unhittable as he was to end 2021, where he has that, nearly 30-inning scoreless stretch. But when you lose a guy like that, that's it. That's a huge loss. So I think some of that bullpen uncertainty had to do with that. Not to try to talk you out of your grade or anything, but
for sure,
it certainly everything, and this is good that we're in this position right now because everything looks a lot better sitting here at 40 and 42 than it did in April and May. So it's not like these grades are based on the inverse that, well, it was good and now they're all of a sudden slumping. I think positive signs of progress can be found across every position group.
Oh, 100%. And another guy, and again, that's why I'm sort of, giving some of these grades away. I am like Eric Swanson. Right? He's got a sub one dealing. But guess what? Talk about that health thing. He was on the IL.
Yeah.
Right? So again, I'm not saying, oh, hey, look, here's your evaluation. You've been terrible. I'm talking about what this team, how it's looked from the onset. So going back to spring training, what to expect? Seawald, Steckenrider, can they repeat? Well, half of them could. Paul Seawald's been really good, very consistent. Steckenrider, not so much. Eric Swanson has held up his end of the bargain, except for the fact he's been on the IL. So you look at some of these little things. But again, let's not forget, they are a sub 500 team, and the first milestone is get to that 500 mark. If they can get there, maybe before the All-Star break, right? And then when we talk about these grades at the end of the year, it might be very different.
Yeah, so we will continue doing this. We're going to break it up now. We're going to get to the offense, though, because that will be fun. I imagine that will be a good conversation to have on the offense. Going to be kind of similar, not to give away any grades, but the offense has had its lows, certainly, and some nice high moments as well. But time to get to a segment that I know you guys usually do at 7:30 on Tuesdays, but we have such a great stable of guests that we had to move it up because we're going to have Allison Lucan of the Kraken at 7:35, and then just so many guests to the end of the show. Brock, Joe Fan, Pete Woodworth, Jason Stark, Chris Flexen. We basically aren't even going to talk the rest of the way. So now it's time to get to a very fun thing you guys do here on Tuesdays, Take the L, which I know it's always quite enjoyable to make fun of the people that were the losers of the weekend. Is that okay to say? Can you call people losers anymore? I don't know. The people that didn't have the best weekends, right? Is that how we kind of sum up this segment?
It's a good summation there where we left go.
Yeah. Holiday weekend, too. You think there's probably a ton of, maybe more will come out about self-inflicted L's over the holiday weekend. But yeah, I know there were some good candidates right now.
Well, speaking of self-inflicted L's, we'll start in the world of golf because we got a couple big ones to get to. And this one, I don't know if you saw it live, but it definitely went viral online. David Wu, PGA rookie, was lining up for a putt after he'd already had a little bit of a struggle of a day. And Lefko, you golf, right?
No, not at all.
Oh, you don't? Ryan, you golf?
I'm terrible. I enjoy it, don't get me wrong.
Okay. But you know how frustrating it can be at times.
Yeah, because we're terrible.
He lines up a putt, misses, and then has to give himself a little pep talk on the green. And this is what it sounded like.
So bad this week. absolutely freaking awful. The entire week, literally just awful freaking putting, dude.
So bad. Can't hit anything with good speed.
Can't hit anything with good speed. You're so awful.
I don't think that's a pep talk.
That's just him talking to himself.
It's him talking to himself. The cameras are close enough to pick it up of him just like, and on TV, you wouldn't know. His back to him, he's kneeling down to line up the putt, and he's just giving himself his own little personal self-help. So that one's for David Wu. I think he can take his own.
Do you do that? Did you used to do that when you're on the mound?
I've watched this clip, right? And I'm sitting there, and you got all these mental skills coaches through sport probably just like pulling their hair out because it's all about that, you know, that positive talk and you know, whatever you call it. But when you're in his situation and the camera's catching you, there's plenty of that, man. There is. When you're sitting at home on the couch or you're one of these mental skills gurus who's throwing up all this hustle motivation content on social and you know, about being positive and all this stuff. No. Get between the lines and see how you go. I guarantee it's going to sound just like that.
And your guy Cam Davis actually came through and won in the John Deere, didn't he?
Who's that?
He's an Aussie. I just thought he'd be supporting Cam Davis.
Wow,
I should.
All Aussies must know all other Aussies.
I know, that's true.
Yeah, I was like, wait, are you talking to me or Ryan over there? Didn't know who that was.
So David, we can Dylan, we can give him his own little L here.
You bunch of losers!
You want to set up what happened with the U.S. Open here because there's so much in regards to this story.
Yeah, I can set it up and you guys can take it home here. So the U.S. Open, SportsCenter tweeted out a highlight of a really nice tennis serve. I think, was it Kragos who did it or whatever? It was a nice between the legs, like fluke serve. And he's a character in and of itself, but you don't need to know all the tennis backstory. So anyway.
He's Australian.
Yeah, I think, yeah. Yeah, there you go. Every Australian.
I had to make sure I was all of it. Yeah.
It all comes back.
Some random Twitter user, Seahawks, blah, 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 name numbers, anyway, whatever, comments.
Seahawks
and says,
fan for life, Geno Smith propaganda.
There you go.
That's the name on Twitter?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Propagandist. Yeah,
that's a handle.
Sorry.
Right.
Yeah, that is a handle. So, you know, just because he happened to have Seahawks
in the
handle.
Is he having
the
egg?
it's like a Seahawks player, right? Okay. Or it was a Seahawks thing. Right. So because he happened to have that, everyone's going to catch strays here from Seahawks fans to players. And he tweeted, not a sport. And then the U.S. Open Twitter account fired back. They fired back in a big way.
They said, not a sport, says the person about to watch 17 games of Drew Locke at quarterback.
Wow, what did Drew Locke do to deserve that?
Seriously.
He's just minding his business, enjoying his holiday weekend.
And then his phone is probably blowing up after that. Yes. I'm sure all of his buddies are texting him, just ribbing him and giving him a hard time.
Going back to what it's like being a professional athlete, especially, look, Drew Locke. You know, the level he's at, and regardless whether you're the 26th man with the Seattle Mariners or you're Tom Brady, that still stings. That stings hard. Like I'm telling you, I've had a few people rip me. Sometimes I'll do the old Roland Smith name search through Twitter. I'm like, oh man,
oh, you can't be that guy. Oh, no.
I do.
Never check the comments here then on the text.
Yeah,
thread.
No, exactly. But. But now that stings. But man, the U.S. Open. I mean, that's they got 2 million Twitter followers or something. That's
getting out there. Dignified event. I can't imagine them.
But I do love. What was the response though?
What was the response from Drew Locke?
Drew Locke said, "Happy fourth to all, but especially to the intern at the U.S. Open," and tagged them.
So the digital media person takes the L there as well because it's probably – that's a real full-time position. I know the joke the intern.
They have a team. Yeah. I'm telling you right now, when you have an organization like that, you've got a team of 15 people firing off tweets and content and all this kind of stuff. So he nailed it, man. I guarantee it was someone young like, oh, this is cool. Got the thumbs up because the boss is on 4th of July firework duty with the kids. He's like, yeah, you can tweet that if you want.
Well, I will say U.S. Open also changed their Twitter bio to definitely a sport.
Nice.
So it's lasted. And it's
I think after his tweet, they posted something that said, that's our quarterback. So they made it they're all in and on the joke now.
Well, the best part is that the U.S. Open had no business commenting because it's not happening until September. It's Wimbledon
right now.
So why not Wimbledon chime in? They are too dignified for that. I mean, the U.S. Open, that is the sport of the American national championship.
U.S.
But it's
Open,
end of August, September, and they were just chilling. So that's what's even more random. Yeah.
Exactly. And DK Metcalf got involved. He tweeted, all right, chill, we get the point at U.S. Open.
Not the first time DK's defended
Drew. Stick it up for his quarterback.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's good.
So I would say the L goes to the original person. The what is it, Seahawks fan 249 somebody. I think that person deserves to get the L.
But real quick, he tried to defend himself and basically
well, that's why it's worse.
Yeah, but now he was like saying, "Hey, look, I enjoy tennis." Or something. Like, he writes up all like, "Oh yes, no, it is a sport." Like because people were crushing him too. When you go through, when you get take a deep dive into the comments and the interaction. So he was,
don't be that person. I hate when people post stuff on Twitter and someone has to be like, don't care. Then keep scrolling.
Yeah,
exactly. Why take the time to comment? So he had to be like, man, not a sport.
They put him in this place.
We'll give them an L then.
He did gain 500 Twitter followers.
Okay.
500.
That's what it's all about there.
Right. Loser! You're a loser!
I do like how, I think, yeah, you got some big winners and a lot of respect for both Drew Locke and the U.S. Open out of this. So that was good. That was an unintentional, good bonding moment that happened. And now, you know what? Maybe they're going to become friends. Drew Locke will go to the U.S. Open. He'll be presented with some special
thing. Is there like a delivering the rosin bag of the U.S.
There's
Open?
Nothing,
is there something
there's
like
no,
that?
There's no, like, maybe he could be an honorary ball boy. Yeah, there it is. The biggest L, sorry, I need to interrupt. I'm sorry, because that just made me think of maybe one of the biggest L's ever. It's a very viral clip of a ball boy at a clay court tournament. I don't think it's the French Open. It's another minor one. He's running back, and he just slams into the wall. I will show you guys this.
Oh, he trips.
Yeah, he trips and just slams into the wall as someone's about to serve, and the player just turns around, stares, and it's just the loudest thwack ever.
Hey, I'll tell you right now. So I had, real quick on that, Australian Open, I got a friend who's involved in tennis, and they sort of, they monitor, you know, they train and the ball boys, ball girls. It's no joke, man. They crack the whip hard on them. I mean, you cannot mess around in those gigs or you're done. Like, because a lot of them are young. You know, it's not something where, hey, it's like, hey, you're out next.
You ever watch Seinfeld?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Kramer tried to be a ball boy. The U.S. Open. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. So, yeah, there's some good L's. I know we didn't get to all of them, but just the too much L-filled over a holiday weekend. That one was certainly fantastic. And it was localized. It was Seahawks-related. So, all's well that ends well for Drew Locke and the U.S. Open. Well, we've had a good first hour here. Mike Lefko, Ryan Roland-Smith, if you missed any of it, we have a lot of guests coming up, a loaded next couple of hours heading your way. But coming up next, we have to grade. We have to grade. We have to grade the offense, and maybe Julio will help bump this grade up because, well, it hasn't been great for the Mariners' offense. We'll give our evaluations and much more. This is the Mike Salk Show on 710 and SeattleSports.com.